Hey mamas, this is Brooke and Alyssa Miller, two registered dietitian mamas.
We're here to help you create a simple and peaceful wellness journey without the chaos of the on and off again diet mentality.
Let's dive into the Mama Well podcast.
Let me ask you this. Do any of these sound familiar to you? You feel burnt out and are wondering how other mamas seem to balance their health and everything on their to-do list? You're feeling like your health is always coming last as a busy mom, and there's no time for you to take care of yourself. Or maybe you have big cravings after the kids go to bed and find yourself stress eating on the couch. If so, then you're in the right place.
We actually have a brand new free mini course that will show you our exact three-step process that will help you nourish your body so that you can improve your energy and tackle your to-do list and even chase the kids around. Prioritize your needs too in a way that's also simple and sustainable, and ditch the emotional eating, cravings, and binges for good. We also touch on how to manage your stress hormones. So if you want to get instant access now, click the link in the show notes to grab it. Hello, hello. Welcome back to the Mama Well podcast. Today we have a special guest, Kristen, and we're going to talk all about prenatal and pregnancy nutrition. And if you want to just share a little bit with our listeners of who you are, where you're from, and your unique motherhood journey and kind of what brought you into focusing so heavily on prenatal nutrition.
Yes. So thank you for having me. My name is Kristen Brown, and I am a prenatal registered dietitian living in Canada. So I really became passionate about pregnancy nutrition when I went through my pregnancy with twins who will be 5 years old next week. And I really realized how underserved this community was, and that I did have a unique journey in the sense that I had more specialists than most people probably would ever have, because just because of my situation, I was sort of shipped back and forth to different hospitals, and I didn't have one single person mention nutrition to me, and they didn't know what I did for a living.
Right.
And I was carrying two babies.
Yeah.
Right. So like there's an even added stress from a nutrition standpoint, and nobody said anything. So I got one sheet that sort of gave me a couple of things to avoid, and that was really it. Yeah. And I had a great understanding of what sort of nutrients we were going to need during pregnancy and why prenatal nutrition is so important. And I just felt like this information needed to be available to everyone. And I just felt like there was just such a gap.
Yeah, there's such a gap. I felt the exact same way. And I love that you're in Canada and I'm from the US, because we had the exact same experience, like living in different countries where, yeah, they just gave me one handout and they're like, oh, you're a dietitian. You'll like, basically, let's not even talk about it. And I'm like, wait, but I don't specialize in pregnancy. I specialize in breastfeeding and postpartum, and which they're just different things. And yeah, that's crazy that without even knowing what you did, they still just kind of skip over it. And can you share with our listeners too, like why nutrition during the pregnancy period and even trying to conceive period, why it's so important? Because again, it's not being discussed with patients. And if we don't understand why it's important, I don't think that we're really going to see changes, you know, with moms communicating that to their physicians.
Absolutely. So when I have folks that come to me in the preconception stage, so they are trying to become pregnant, we focus on nutrition because nutrition has a direct impact on the quality of our eggs and our partner's sperm. Yeah. So there's a lot that we don't know about, you know, miscarriages and why they happen. But one of the major reasons is chromosomal abnormalities, which can be impacted by nutrition, especially when we can focus on nutrients that are really important for egg and sperm quality. So in that preconception stage, usually 2 to 3 months before you're starting to conceive is the bare minimum of when I would suggest that people start to think about their nutrition. Ideally, if we have the ability to plan ahead, then 6 months would be a great time for you know, people to really start thinking about their nutrition and maybe start a good quality prenatal vitamin and get that into their routine. But it's really important during that time to really just make sure that we are kind of filling in some of those gaps with, you know, foods that are really nutrient dense, or with supplements if our diet is lacking in some areas. And then once we are pregnant, we're growing a whole other human, right? Yeah. So there's so much research that suggests that nutrition is so important for baby's brain development, baby's eye development, risks of postpartum depression, and reducing our risk of any sort of birth defect. So there's a lot of reasons why nutrition during pregnancy is so important, but unfortunately, it just doesn't always get communicated.
Yeah. And I feel like when they do communicate with us, it's basically like, don't eat these two things or three things, or like, you know, cut down on caffeine, obviously don't drink, don't do drugs. And that's basically it. Like, watch out for a few of these foods. But what kind of, like, what are the most common myths or misconceptions that moms come to you with? Because you're seeing moms, you know, while they're pregnant, but you're also seeing moms when they're trying to conceive. And so I'm sure that they've heard some things from friends or family or even their doctor, and you're like, wait a second, that's not true. Like, you don't have to avoid that, or you don't have to worry about that. Or even like prenatals, I know a lot of prenatal vitamins don't have choline, and that's just like not something that they're even told or told about. So I would love to hear just kind of some things that you've heard from moms, so you can kind of clear the air here for anyone who's trying to conceive or pregnant.
Totally. So I would say two from a food perspective that I see people coming to me with is that they don't eat any seafood because they're terrified of high mercury.
Yeah.
Which obviously is not the case. Not all fish is high in mercury. So we really want to make sure that women during pregnancy are eating really high omega-3 rich foods, which would be fatty cold water fish like salmon, sardines, herring, really, really good sources. But people come to me and they're like, well, I stopped eating fish because it was high in mercury, because they hear a little like tidbits here and there and kind of put it together because they don't know. Right. And the other thing is eggs. So people also come to me not eating eggs, and they're like, well, I was scared. I only like them runny. And because I can't eat them runny, I'm just avoiding them altogether. And you just mentioned choline, you know, egg yolks are really, really rich in choline. So if we take eggs out altogether, then we're going to miss out on that really important nutrient. So that's something that I find, like, two things that I find come up all the time. The other thing is that a lot of people come to me on a prenatal vitamin that's a one a day. It's not the most, you know, quality nutrients in there, and it's a one a day. And it's because their doctor told them that all prenatal vitamins are the same and just pick one and just take it and you're going to be fine. And it's just not the way that it is. That being said, any, you know, whatever's in your budget, a prenatal vitamin is going to be much better than not taking a prenatal vitamin. But if you're looking for something different and you're looking for something that is going to meet your specific needs, then we're doing you a massive disservice by just kind of painting all of them with the same brush.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting that you bring up eggs and fish, because those are two probably of the most important foods that we can be eating, not only when we're pregnant, but also like like breastfeeding in the postpartum period. So we really want to include those foods as long as we don't have, you know, some sort of allergy or intolerance. Something else I've heard a lot from moms is, you know, I can't have eggs every day because of the cholesterol. And so that's like another myth that I hear. And I'm like, no, you don't actually have to worry about the cholesterol in eggs. It's not going to raise your dietary, or like dietary cholesterol doesn't impact your blood cholesterol like we think it does, that we've heard growing up. So I'm glad you cleared the air with those two foods, because those are super important foods to be adding in. Do you have any tips for moms who are really struggling with morning sickness, nausea, just not having an appetite, on how they can actually meet their needs and keep down a prenatal vitamin? I know that can be really difficult for women as well.
Yes, absolutely. So there's so many different strategies, and I find that women come to me to work with me one-on-one a lot of times when they are really, really struggling. And there's a lot of mom guilt that happens, right? Where they're like, I imagine that I would be eating all of these really nutritious things, and now I feel terrible. And I'm just trying to keep down water. And so we try a lot of different strategies, and there's a lot of things, like, what works for one person doesn't necessarily always work for someone else. But some of the things that I find the most effective, and that women tend to respond the best to, is eating in a way that stabilizes their blood sugar. So what happens sometimes is that women will feel nauseous, and then when they feel nauseous, they eat things like dry toast and crackers and just some like simple carbohydrates that are going to spike their blood sugar. And then it is going to come back down. And when it comes back down, they feel crummy again.
Yep.
So then they eat a few more crackers and then their blood sugar goes up and it comes back down. And the whole day they're kind of on this roller coaster, just trying to chase that low blood sugar and just to have some few moments of feeling kind of okay.
Yeah.
But if we compare those crackers, for example, with something like some peanut butter or some salted cashews, and we can kind of slow down that release of sugar into the bloodstream, then we're not going to see those really high spikes and the subsequent drops. We're going to see some much smoother waves. And that can make a massive difference in how people feel, especially if low blood sugar is a trigger for their nausea.
Yeah.
So that's one really big one for sure. Then there's other things. So ginger can be really, really helpful. Peppermint can be really, really helpful. Vitamin B6 supplementation can also be helpful. So usually I'll get people to take that in divided doses to see if we can kind of get some coverage all throughout the day. And that can make quite a difference. Then also like salty foods or sour foods can be really helpful. So, you know, salted cashews or any sort of salted nuts can be really a nice snack that is going to help stabilize blood sugar, but also that saltiness can kind of just help us tolerate it a little bit better, get some protein in too.
Yeah.
So there's lots of different strategies. It really just depends on the person, what's going to be the most effective for them. But those are a few that I will pretty routinely recommend in my practice that have pretty good effect.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I'm so glad you brought up blood sugar balance, because that's something that Alyssa and I talk about all the time inside the Mama Well. And even like inside Nourish After Baby, I'm always talking about blood sugar balance. And I think there's this misconception out there that we only have to worry about our blood sugar if we have gestational diabetes, or if we have a family history of diabetes, or we know we have a risk factor for it. And I think a lot of times, like, women don't, they just don't understand, because we weren't taught this, you know, like general education doesn't teach us this, but blood sugar balance is important really for any person, whether you're male or female, whether you're 20 years old or 50 years old. It really helps stabilize your hormones and your metabolism. And like you said, it just like when we have these high highs and low lows with our blood sugar, we feel really crappy, and it impacts our energy and our mood, and it can make nausea worse. And so I'm so glad that you brought that up, because it's just as important in pregnancy as it is like for anybody who has gestational diabetes versus somebody who doesn't. Like, blood sugar balance is still something we should be heavily focused on from a nutrition standpoint. So I'm so glad that you brought that up.
Totally. And it seems so arbitrary. And I think that that's why people don't really latch on to it too much, because we use these numbers and we're like, blood sugar balance. And it seems like a very abstract concept. But if you can feel a day when you balance all of your meals.
Oh, yeah.
How you feel, even just from a mood perspective, like you said, it can make a massive difference.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's like night and day. I remember when I was not balancing my blood sugar and I was dieting and under eating, my mood and my energy, like, it was always all over the place. And then I would have binges and cravings. And then once I started balancing my blood sugar and focusing on that, gosh, it's been almost 10 years ago. And it was like night and day difference with mood, with energy, with all the things, even my workouts, you know, I was like able to run faster. Not that I'm a fast runner, run faster and lift heavier and, you know, like actually have more stamina during workouts. And, you know, pregnancy is so hard on our bodies. And a lot of women were just already so fatigued by growing humans that a lot of moms just think like, I'm supposed to be tired the entire pregnancy and I'm never supposed to have energy. And while some fatigue is completely normal during pregnancy, I think a lot of times we forget that our nutrition can actually improve our energy to an extent. I don't think that like every day of pregnancy you're going to feel super energized. Do you have any other tips on maybe like improving your energy while pregnant? Anything that you've seen work for people, whether it's, you know, from a nutrition or even movement standpoint?
Yeah. Getting outside is huge.
Yeah.
Right. Especially this time of year when we can have like sunshine in our eyeballs and on our skin, can make a massive difference. Yeah. I will say too, when you're feeling exhausted, last thing you want to do is get any sort of movement in. But if you can just go for like a short walk outside, you know, put some like energizing music in your ears and just go for a short walk, it can make a world of difference in terms of your energy versus just laying there and saying, I'm so tired, right?
Yeah.
But then also prioritizing sleep. And I think that yes. in the world of like social media and Netflix, that people just aren't getting enough sleep. Mm-hmm. So turning the screens off, getting screens out of your room, and allowing yourself to get a minimum of 7 hours of sleep, if that's possible for you, mm-hmm. would be awesome. So those things like totally separate from nutrition can make a world of difference. The other thing mm-hmm. that makes a really big difference that I think people forget about is hydration.
Yes. Right? Oh my gosh.
And like the middle of the day when people have like that sort of like 3 p.m. slump, mm-hmm. a lot of times like a tall glass of water mm-hmm. will bring them right back to life.
Yeah. Well, and like you said, even getting outside, even if you're not moving outside, like let's say you have a backyard, a fenced in backyard, and you have multiple kids, maybe you're pregnant with number three and you're really tired. Even just sitting outside and getting the vitamin D from the sunshine, that's still going to make a difference. And the fresh air mixed with vitamin D, even if you're not doing a whole lot of movement, I still think like it does make such an impact versus, I think it's a struggle when we have a desk job and we have no windows in our office and we're, you know, stuck in a cube for 8 hours a day. I think it's a really big struggle for so many moms who are trying to work. And I don't think it helps with the nausea and the fatigue. And so even getting up from your desk and doing a walk outside with your coworkers or on your lunch break, it can make such a big difference for those of you who are working outside of the home for sure.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other, I know you mentioned eggs and fish are really important foods. Are there any other foods or nutrients specifically that you see moms being deficient in during pregnancy, or you just see that they're not eating enough? And if you had a mom like listening to this podcast who was pregnant, what are some foods that you would say, hey, like really try to get these in as much as you can because they're so important?
Yes. Okay. So let me list. So if you're listening to this podcast and you're like, okay, just give me like the specific foods that you think are the most important mm-hmm. and nutrients. Number one, I'm going to say vitamin D. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you mentioned getting vitamin D from the sun. Amazing. Most of our diets are not, we don't get adequate amounts of vitamin D from our food. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have to get it from the sun, or we're going to have to get it from a supplement.
Yeah.
So get your vitamin D levels checked, see where mm-hmm. you're at, see if a supplement would be necessary. Mm-hmm. I find in my practice that most of the time,
almost everybody is necessary. Yeah. Especially in Canada.
Oh, especially in Canada. So, and the thing is that like you said, like most people are working. So even mm-hmm. in those like nice hours when you're going to get the most vitamin D from the sun, mm-hmm. most people are inside.
Yeah.
So even in nicer climates, you can see low vitamin D just based on the logistics around work. Mm-hmm. So get your vitamin D levels checked and then take a supplement if you need to. The second one, again, salmon, sardines, fatty cold water fish. We need that really good omega-3 fat. It's so important for baby's brain development. It's so mm-hmm. important for baby's eye health. By the time you're in the third trimester, baby is going to take from you 67 milligrams of DHA every single day. Mm. And they're called an essential fatty mm-hmm. acid, which means that it is essential that we get it from our diet.
Yeah.
So if we don't get it from our diet, we don't have the ability to just take some substrates and synthesize it ourselves. Mm-hmm. We need to get it from our diet. And it's not in most prenatal vitamins. Mm-hmm. So if you're taking a one a day and you know, you're not eating salmon a couple times a week, chances are mm-hmm. you're not getting enough.
Right.
So that would definitely be one. The other one is definitely choline. Mm-hmm. So that's another nutrient that we don't see oftentimes in prenatal supplements. Things are changing now. There's really good quality prenatal vitamins that are coming out that have more choline in them, which is wonderful, mm-hmm. but just something to be mindful of. So egg yolks are going to be one of the best sources.
Yeah.
So if you can have like, you know, 2 to 3 eggs a day, that's going to be totally okay. And it's going to mm-hmm. be a great source of protein, really good for stabilizing your blood sugar.
Yeah.
And you're going to get lots of choline. You can get a double whammy if you buy the omega-3 eggs, and you're mm-hmm. going to get a little bit of omega-3 in there too.
Yeah.
So those would be like my top three. And then if I had to add one more in, I would say iron-rich foods.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Yes. Which so eggs have iron as well.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. So making sure that you're getting enough iron, especially if your iron levels are low, and just staying on top of what your levels are, because mm-hmm. if you're already feeling fatigued, sometimes it can be that your iron is a bit low mm-hmm. and that just supplementing or focusing on high iron foods like red meats are going to be totally okay.
Mm-hmm.
Incorporating some of those regularly to bring your iron levels up will make a big difference in your energy levels as well.
Yeah, and I'm so glad you brought up iron and vitamin D, because in the postpartum period, those two nutrients are like the most important, and it's actually the same for pregnancy. And with the red meats especially, I hear so many women where they're like, oh, red meats are unhealthy, or eggs are going to raise my cholesterol, and they're, and again, fish and mercury. Like, so a lot of women are actually avoiding some of these important foods, and they're important for the trying to conceive period all the way through, like really that first year postpartum. So there's like a long period of time where we should be trying to include these foods as much as possible. And even with iron deficiency anemia, a lot of women don't realize that it can impact you. Like, even if you don't have deficiency anemia in pregnancy, you can actually start developing it in the postpartum period, especially if you're nursing and like your body is so depleted. And so again, like just because you get your vitamin D checked right away at the beginning of the pregnancy, like things could change by the end of the pregnancy. And then even if levels are normal during pregnancy, like still get them checked in the postpartum period and vice versa. Like some women may find that their levels are, you know, okay during pregnancy and not postpartum, or they're okay postpartum and they're not okay during pregnancy. So I agree, like getting those labs checked and knowing if we need to supplement on top of like our prenatals and on top of foods is really important, because it can impact so many, like how we function throughout the day, which is a big deal for moms.
Totally.
Trying to
and I think
manage.
We explain it away, right? We're like, oh, you're tired. Oh, well, you're pregnant. Oh, yep. You're tired. Oh, yep. Well, you just had a baby.
Yeah.
Right. But it's like, well, maybe we should just like look under the hood and just mm-hmm. like make sure everything is okay.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Oh, so important. Do you have any red flags for what not to do with a prenatal? I know that you talked about like the one a days are probably not ideal. Is there anything else that you've seen where you're like, that's a really bad quality prenatal, or that is just a vitamin that I would not recommend taking? I know everybody's budget is different, but if there's anything that you would say like, this is probably a red flag to avoid this type of prenatal.
The one a day would be my biggest red flag, okay. Especially with, if we're looking even just at like the most affordable options, mm-hmm. then I would say there's a lot of them that would be similar to a one a day that might be, you know, that you take two times a day mm-hmm. that is going to be a similar cost and yeah. even just similar in terms of the forms of nutrients that are in it, but simply just breaking it up into two doses versus mm-hmm. just one mega dose yeah. is going to make a difference in terms of how much your body actually absorbs. Mm-hmm. So it still might not have the most readily available nutrients in it, yeah. but chances are you're going to absorb it a lot better than you are taking it in one mega dose once a day. And mm-hmm. even just from looking at how well you would tolerate it. Mm-hmm. A one a day is often not as well tolerated, right? Yeah. So that is just something to consider too, especially if maybe you're skipping days with your prenatal because you're not feeling well when you take it. My next option for that, because that would be one thing that I will hear sometimes when people come to me, is that if we can take iron out of the prenatal and we can do iron separately, then yeah. we can do iron every second day instead of every day for better absorption. And we can take it out of the prenatal so that you are consistently taking your prenatal every day.
Oh, yeah. That's such an important thing. Absolutely. Yeah. That's such a good
tip.
That would
be my biggest one would be like, look out for the one a day, divide it into multiple doses. And then if your budget allows, then perhaps choosing a prenatal vitamin that has more of the active forms of vitamins in it mm-hmm. that your body's just going to absorb and utilize more readily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Is there anything else regarding prenatal or postpartum nutrition, or prenatal or pregnancy nutrition that you feel like we didn't talk about that you feel is super important for our listeners to know?
The one thing, and I know that this is like what you guys talk about all the time, so I'm sure that if you're listening to this, you're already focused on this, is that your relationship with food is mm-hmm. number one. Like, yeah. yes, nutrition during pregnancy is really important, mm-hmm. but if you are stressed out, you can't go to a function without packing mm-hmm. a meal with you. Yeah. It is like totally impacting your quality of life because mm-hmm. you feel like, oh my gosh, if I don't eat all the foods that Kristen said I needed to eat, yeah. then I am like hurting my baby. Mm-hmm. Then absolutely not. Right? It's yeah. that fine balance of like, let's focus on these foods that you can include and let's not demonize these other things. So mm-hmm. if you want to have an ice cream cone or you want to have whatever you want to have, you know, obviously like that is not spoiled and not going to cause you any harm.
Right.
Of course, but maintain a positive relationship with food, because that is going to be so much more impactful mm-hmm. than any of these foods we talked about.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think when we're trying to eat like very perfectly when we're pregnant, it just causes so much stress and anxiety. And then that's raising our cortisol levels, our stress hormone in our body. And then that's not great for baby. And so, like you said, we're better off, you know, having the ice cream cone in and not having guilt over it versus trying to stress out and micromanage every part of our nutrition. And so at the end of the day, exactly, it's what our relationship with food looks like and just trying to get in a variety. You know, I think that's always a good thing to aim for when at really through any part of your life, whether you're going through menopause or you're a teenager or you're pregnant or postpartum, like just trying to get in a variety of nutrients and foods is always going to be something, you know, to kind of aim for throughout the day. But I love that you brought that up. Awesome. Can you share where we can find you, any offers you have, your programs, how they can work with you, all the things?
Yes. So I'm most active over on Instagram. My handle is @prenatal.dietitian. I work one-on-one with clients all the time. I also have a prenatal nutrition masterclass, which is almost every single thing I go through with my one-on-one clients, but something that people can access on their own time, on their own schedule, mm-hmm. in little bite-sized pieces that's broken down by topic. So if you have specific concerns, you can skip ahead to that chapter and mm-hmm. kind of go through the videos on that. There's also, you know, 6 weeks worth of recipes and different strategies on supplements and that sort of thing. So mm-hmm. we talk about it all in there. So if, you know, working one-on-one with someone isn't something that is inside of your budget, then maybe the masterclass is something that might be of interest to you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree. I think like so much of this, I think a lot of times when people hear a dietitian, they think it has to be one-to-one or it's not effective, but really like I know you and I have both said this and found this when we see the same type of clients over and over and over that we start to see patterns. And so your masterclass sounds amazing because you likely answer any question they're going to have inside of there. And you're going to be giving them exactly like the same support that they would be getting and the same information they'd be getting, you know, from a one-to-one standpoint. So yay. Well, we will link all of that, your Instagram, your masterclass, all of that in the show notes. And thank you so much for coming on.
Yay, thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you. Bye.
We hope you loved today's episode. And because we appreciate you listening, we want to offer you our free guide on how to tune in to your natural hunger and fullness cues.
All you have to do is leave us a written review and DM us a screenshot, and we will send you the guide absolutely free. We truly appreciate you being here, listening, and finding even just a few minutes to fill back up your cup. It's so important.
All right, we'll see you next week. And until then, know that you are enough, worthy, and we're praying for you.